Welcome to Exceedingly Abundant Ministries with Pastor Gary Cole. We are committed to bringing you the good news of the gospel, believing that God wants to make Christians whole in spirit, soul, and body. Visit our website at eaministries.net. Now, here is Pastor Gary with today's teaching.
Good afternoon today. The Lord bless you. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? I tell you, the Lord has given us, I think even all over the United States, but especially where we live, warmer temperatures. It's just amazing. It's like an early spring, isn't it? Well, we praise God for it. Well, today we're going to be talking about, it's kind of a part two message on settling God's Word. We need to settle God's Word, and you'll understand that in just a few minutes, what that means. Let's begin in Psalm 119, beginning verse 89. The Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." God has established that his word, what he says, his truth, is established in heaven. We don't have to wonder whether God wants to perform his word on earth, because he says, "I've already settled it in heaven." But you notice what Jesus taught us to pray? Remember the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6? "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Do you believe that the word of the will of God is being done perfectly in heaven? Absolutely. Well, we have to contend for that down here on earth. We need to call forth the things that God's word tells us and see it happen here in this life on earth for every boy and girl, man and woman. Amen? Now, let's look at four things I believe we have to do to really see this effectively happen. I'll tell you up front. Number one, we have to believe the word of God. We have to stand on it. We have to fight for it and then receive it. Let's begin with believing it. I've always been encouraged by Romans 10:17. Anytime my faith has ever wavered or I thought, well, man, I just really need a greater measure of faith for the things I'm going through. Well, the Bible says there's always more. Romans 10:17. "Now then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's why, you know, even when you read your Bibles, it's good to do it out loud enough where you hear what you're reading. Faith comes through the hearing of God's word. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the word of God. And in fact, that's one exciting thing that takes place once you're born again. You've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Your body is his temple. And now you can begin to understand the things of God and the kingdom of God, because the Holy Spirit is the best teacher there ever was. Remember, there's four things about the Holy Spirit that Jesus talked about in between John 14 and John 16. And I just want to tell you that real quick. The Bible says the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. He would teach us all things. He would bring to remembrance everything Jesus Christ has said to us, and he would show us things to come. Yes, the Holy Spirit can show us the future. Awesome. Because that's what the Bible says, and let me tell you, be open to the Holy Spirit, and he will show you things in your life. In fact, the Holy Spirit can warn you about things if you're listening to his voice, and I pray you are. But we really need to lay hold of the truth that we have to believe God and his word. You know, it sounds like it's easy, and it should be, but you know, if you read the Bible, for a lot of people, it didn't seem to be very easy. Let's go over here to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, and I want to use the illustration of the children of Israel. Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 7. "Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you will, hear his voice." Now, that's awesome. Yes, the Holy Spirit speaks. Remember, he's the third person in the Godhead. He lives in you and I. He makes the things of the Word of God and Kingdom of God alive to us. Today, we need fresh manna every day. I'm glad God showed you great things yesterday. Let him show you great things today. He has direction. He has provision. He has instruction for you and I this day. Remember, it's a personal, intimate love relationship with God through his son Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Trinity is involved in our experience with God because God is a triune God. Let's go to verse 8. He warned them, "Harden not your heart as in the provocation, in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test, proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Now, remember, the generation he's talking about got to see God lead them by a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. God gave them manna. God gave them water from the rock. They got to see the miraculous provision. Their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. Wow. I'm telling you, God is awesome. But you know, and this is true for every generation, so lay hold of this. God does allow trials and tests to see if you're getting the truth. See if you're going to trust him no matter what's going on. God permits trials and tests to come to all believers to see if you will trust him. Yes, he blesses us mightily. But he also allows there to be things happen that seem to be perilous, that seem to say that God's not there, that seem to say things aren't going to work out. And God is always saying, "Trust me. I've always helped you. I've always been there for you." You know, the Bible tells us this. Let's just real quick jump over here in 1 Peter 1, because I want you to understand. I mean, all generations, every person is going to go through trials, and God tells us that up front. 1 Peter 1, 6. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom ye have not seen, ye love, and though in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So God is very honest with us. He said there'll be trials and testings in this life. Remember, the devil's still alive. Yes, he's a defeated foe, but he's still trying to destroy people, kill, and steal from you and I. And we need to make sure we don't let him do it. So God says up front, there's going to be trials and tests. Things aren't always going to go like you and I think it. And God says, "I've blessed you so much. Now I want, when things do get tough, when things do look perilous, you to continue to trust me and love and serve me." You know, the children of Israel didn't do that. They began to murmur and complain. They even begin to serve other gods. Boy, that is wicked. That a little bit reminds you of the United States, doesn't it? We're supposed to be one nation under God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only true God. All these other gods are nothing but demons, demonic principalities and powers, taking those people to hell. How would you ever tell someone it's okay to trust in someone else than Jesus? That's a lie. Don't give in to the lie. Keep your eyes on Jesus and walk in intimacy with him. So God says, "I'm going to send trials and tests to see if you will continue to serve me and follow me. And as you do continue to follow and serve me, you can enter into your promised land. Remember, Promised Land is not heaven. Remember in the Promised Land back then, there were giants. They had to fight and defeat the giants. Yes, God gave it to them, but they still had to fight. In fact, we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. So we see God says there will be trials and tests, and God says, I'm going to see if you'll continue to trust me. Well, they didn't, and a whole group of people, a whole generation of people died in the wilderness. They didn't get to enter into their inheritance that God had for them. That can happen to you and I, and sadly, I see that too many times in Christians' life. Oh, they're okay while things are going good, but here comes a little trial or a test or hardship, and then they abandon God. Well, the results from that are never good. Yes, God is merciful and gracious and will help us, but you won't enter into God's very best if you turn tail and run and get into unbelief. In fact, let's go back to our passage here in Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, that means Christians, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In other words, you started out trusting God, but now things have happened, and now you're in unbelief. You're not sure God's going to help you. You're not sure God's going to be with you. And you begin to do things you shouldn't, just like they did. That will get you in big trouble. Let's continue. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. You know, I call that verse right there the perseverance of the believers. I believe completely in eternal salvation, but I also believe in perseverance of the saints. Those who are truly saved will persevere to the end. And I think we see that right here in this verse. Those who truly know Jesus will be trusting Jesus when he comes back or when they go home to meet him. Amen. Verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For who, when they had heard, did provoke? Did not all that came out of Egypt by Moses? But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest? Okay, you can miss God's rest, his promised land. But to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They didn't pass the test. Instead of doing like we're supposed to do, going from one realm of glory to another, they choose to murmur, complain, fall away, and become disobedient to God. Don't do that. And if you have done that, repent now and ask God to be merciful so that you can go forward and enter into God's promised land, his inheritance, his destiny he has for you in this life. But let's continue. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left to us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith by them that heard it. That's it. They weren't responding to God's word. And often that God's word was being spoken through his servant Moses. Aren't you thankful for preachers, teachers, apostles, those who share and teach and preach and the word of God and tell you what God's saying according to his word? Now, always make sure it's according to the written word of God, okay? There are false teachers. There are false apostles. There are false preachers. And you'll know them by their fruits, and you can check it out by the word of God. But the people, you know, and that just means you can sit in church and hear God's word, and that doesn't mean you believe it. That doesn't mean you receive it, does it? I've heard people say, I've been preaching over 28 years. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, it's right here in the Bible. I still don't believe it, okay? So people haven't changed, have they? And be sure those people that respond to God's word by not believing what he says get into trouble, get into bondage, live miserable lives. You can be a miserable Christian. Did you know that? You can be a disobedient Christian. Did you know that? You can miss out on God's best for your life. Did you know that? Because see, I'm reading here in the book of Hebrews. Paul says, let's remember what happened to the children of Israel, so make sure you don't do that. God is so gracious. He warns us. He gives us examples, good and bad. This happened to be a bad example of a generation of people who missed out on God's best because of sin and, again, unbelief. They refused to trust, believe God. And again, when you don't trust and believe God, that means you're not obeying Him, right? Amen. And be sure those who trust in God obey God. They always go hand in hand, amen? Because if you believed what God said, then you're going to do what He says. That's right. So the first thing, if we're going to get God's Word settled here on earth as it is in heaven, we have to believe what God's Word says and never get into unbelief. And you say, well, why would that happen? Because we live in a fallen world system that is being controlled and dictated by Satan, called the little g, God of this world. There are there's lost people who don't know the Lord, who are always talking and saying things contrary to the Word of God, just like the liberal media. Also, there's even Christians who have not got established in the Word, and they still have strongholds and bondages in their life, and Satan whispers things in their ear, and they believe it and speak it, and sometimes God's people listen to that and get in trouble. And then fourthly, you get tempted. You know what temptation is? It's a demon speaking in your ear. That's why Paul says we are to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You ever thought something and think, why am I thinking this? This isn't good and this isn't right. Yes, the devil tries to influence you too. He tries to speak to you also. So this is what we have to contend with in this life. Which brings us to our second point. We don't just believe God's word, we have to stand on it. You know, the things that we believe God for don't always come instantly. And God requires that we stand. Well, where do you find that at? Let's go over here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10. Paul's talking about putting on the whole armor of God. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And notice that's a command. And remember, God gives you the grace and the person of the Holy Spirit so you can be strong. Amen. Amen. Receive that. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to, here it is, stand against the wiles of the devil. He's talking to Christians. You mean the devil can mess with Christians? In fact, I like the word wiles here. It means stratagems, deceits, trickery of the devil. He tries to trick us into sinning and being disobedient to God. That's what the Bible says. Let me tell you, I know it's true. You ever been deceived? You ever been tricked? I have. I don't want to do that anymore. Do you? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that means people with bodies, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So what does God say? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, I'm not going to take time today to go through the whole armor of God, but I pray, even though I'm talking to the radio, I pray that you're not naked today. Well, of course I've got clothes on. No, I'm saying, do you have the whole armor of God on? Are you spiritually naked? Did you get dressed today spiritually by putting on God's armor that He gave to Christians so you could successfully serve the Lord? And notice he says not only put on this whole armor of God, Paul says three or four times we need to stand. What does stand mean? Stand means to hold your ground. Yes, you've believed God. Yes, you're going to go forward. But here comes the devil. Here comes unbelieving people. Here comes this world system and tries to get you to let go of God's promises. In fact, if I believe if there's a word that really God has for me to give to you today is, don't let anyone talk you out of the blessings of God, the provision of God. Don't let anyone talk you out of being obedient to God to do what He's already showed you to do. The devil always tries to talk you out of being obedient to God. He did it to Adam and Eve. He does it to all people. He tries to put that thought in your mind or use others to say, oh, you might as well give up. That doesn't work anymore. Yeah, God used to do it, but he doesn't do it now. Or it works for others, but it doesn't work for you. You ever had the devil tell you that? And sometimes he's doing it through people. He can even do that through preachers to discourage you from standing strong in God and believing and obeying the Lord and his word. So you have to stand. There are enemies trying to defeat you. James says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he must flee from you. Well, why would you resist the devil if he's not messing with you or messing with your family? You need to recognize his schemes and trickeries and lies and submit to God and resist the devil because he's trying to defeat you. You know, I remember Derek Prince. He's one of the greatest preachers, I think, of all times. He says the devil has two assignments over every person. Number one, to keep you from knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. If he fails in that and you get saved, here's scheme number two. To keep you from serving Jesus Christ effectively. Christians who are listening to me, are you being effective? Are you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you seeing the victories you believe that God has for your life? You understand what I'm saying? Why have all of a sudden these things happen when you're just ready for victory? It's spiritual warfare. It's the devil. You've got to believe God, but then you've got to stand, hold on, refuse to give up, keep proclaiming the truth. Don't give in to doubt, fear, unbelief, and don't let the devil talk you out of your blessings. That leads us to the third word, fight. Well, we kind of saw that in Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and spirits of wickedness, and rulers of darkness. Now, I don't have time to break that down to you, but I'm just telling you, the devil has fallen angels that went with him and demonic imps, and they're trying to defeat you and keep you from serving God effectively. And most of all, they want to keep you from winning other people to Jesus, because then they lose people out of Satan's kingdom. Okay? There's only two kingdoms on earth, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. And every person is in one of those two kingdoms. And if you're not born again, you're in the kingdom of Satan. If you're not sure about what to do yet, you're still in the kingdom of Satan. Only through the new birth are you translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Colossians 1:13. You must be born again. So the third word is fight. Well, do you see that in the Bible in the New Testament? Yes, I do. How about over here in 1 Timothy 6:12? Paul's writing to young Timothy. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, unto which thou art called and hast professed a good profession among many witnesses. Paul, he's the one that told us all about grace, right? So even with the grace of God, I've still got to fight and contend and enforce Jesus' victory in this life against the devil. In fact, what Paul said over here about himself, 2 Timothy 4:6, he says this, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What did he say? He'd fought a good fight? That's right. That means when the devil came against him, when unbelievers came against him, when this world system tried to shut him up, he wouldn't back off. He kept boldly proclaiming Jesus Christ and doing the things God showed him to do. Now, I'm sure he wasn't perfect, but when he did sin, and we do sin, he repented, got up again, and went forward with Jesus. He fought the good fight of faith. Remember, you have to fight. Now, again, I want to make a good theology here. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. Well, explain that to me real quick. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you got saved today, spiritually speaking, You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Yes, physically, you're still down here on earth. But just because by being born again, your position now is seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Read that, Ephesians 2:6. In fact, read Watchman Nee's good book, Set, Walk, Stand. That's an awesome book to build you up in your faith. But we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Satan is under our feet, but we still have to enforce the victory. He's an illegal devil. Peter says, you think Peter had sense? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You mean he's talking about Christians there? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished by your brethren there in the world? There you go. You see, you've got to fight. Sometimes to get that, I call it getting your breakthrough. You don't just believe God. You keep standing and proclaiming. You fight for it when people and the devil come against you and try to talk you out of your blessings. And then that brings us to the last part. That's the real exciting part. You receive the blessing. You receive what God has for you. Now, let me encourage you in that. You know, just like when you get saved, you know, that's an instant thing. But let me go here to John 1:10 first. He was in the world. That's talking about Jesus. And the world was made by him. Jesus Christ made the world. Maybe you didn't know that. It says it also in Colossians 1 and Genesis 1. Jesus Christ made the world. He's the only Savior that came down from heaven, who was God, who became man, who died for the sins of mankind, that you might have your sins forgiven and have eternal life and have fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's through Jesus and Jesus alone. Anyone else will take you to hell because the Bible says so. Now, Jesus said, John 14:6, I am, that's the words of Jehovah, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So it's Jesus or nothing. Oh, actually, it's Jesus or the devil. And the devil has many names, but I won't go into that today. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. I like that. When we believed on Jesus, What did we do? We received him into our heart as our Savior and Lord. Jesus said in Mark, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So when I truly believe God for something, at the same time by faith I'm receiving it, even though it may take a period of time, because then you shall receive them. But I have to keep sometimes standing on the word of God, holding my ground. I have to continue, you know, fight the good fight of faith and not let anyone talk me out of the blessing or get me to get into unbelief or sin. And then I receive the provision of God. Now, you receive Jesus instantly. But a lot of the provisions and things that God has for you and he tells you about in his word and shows you by his spirit, you have to contend for. Jude talks about contending for the faith. You have to contend for the things of God in this life. You may be saying, well, I don't even know Jesus. Oh, pray with me now. You can get saved right now. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. I understand today that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. I'm sorry. I repent, Jesus. Please allow your precious blood right now to wash me from all my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself completely to you. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Be faithful to God and settle God's word on earth by believing it, standing on it, fighting for it, and receiving what God has for you. God bless you.
This broadcast is made possible by our faithful partners in the ministry outreach of Bethel Worship Center in Joplin, Missouri. If you have been blessed by Pastor Gary Culp's teaching and would like to know more about our ministry, feel free to visit our website at eaministries.net. That's PAMinistries.net.